And this is the gospel choir's last time in chapel. Let's give them some love today. And for our brother Robert. Listen to this, for this is trustworthy and this is true. In him, Jesus, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. It is an overwhelming declaration, a decisive act of God in human history, the moment that defines history, the moment that gives history its center of gravity. It is the declaration of the good news that God took the time to put on flesh in Jesus Christ, and through his life and through his cross, God was pleased to reconcile all things. God was pleased to reconcile all things. You might say that it was God's passion to reconcile all things. It's Holy Week. It is the week where Christians from every tribe and language and nation on every continent on this globe remember and marvel and wonder at the passion of God. This morning, I want to invite us into that passion story through the Gospel of John. And I invite you to listen as if for the first time, and maybe for the first time, this story, this moment in history where God was pleased to reconcile all things through the blood of his cross. And as you listen, there's a large question hanging over us. And it's simply this. Where do you stand in relationship to Jesus? Where do you stand in relationship to the cross? Hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us in John chapter 18 and 19. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden where he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place because Jesus often went there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they brought with them torches and lanterns and weapons. Now Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came out and asked them, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Now Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said that, "I am he," they took a step back and they fell to the ground. And again, Jesus asked them, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I've told you that I am he, so if you're looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said, "I will not lose a single one of those whom he gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. And Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup the Father has for me?" So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First they took him to Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was the one who had told the Jews, "It is better for one person to die for the people." Now Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since the other disciple knew the high priest, he followed Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter stayed at the gate. So the other disciple went out and spoke to the woman who was guarding the gate and brought Peter in. And the woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" And Peter replied, "No, I'm not." Now the slaves and the police made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they stood there warming themselves, and Peter stood there with him, warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. And Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I've always taught in synagogues and in temples where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing, nothing in secret. And why do you ask me? Why don't you ask those who heard what I say to them? They know what I said." When he had said this, a police standing nearby came over and slapped Jesus across the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus said, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong, but if I have spoken rightly, why do you hit me?" Then Annas took Jesus bound and sent him over to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing there and warming himself, and they asked him, "Aren't you one of this man's disciples?" Peter denied it and said, "No, I'm not." And then one of the slaves of the high priest said, who was a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Didn't I also see you in the garden?" Peter denied it. And at that moment, the cock crowed. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early, early in the morning, though they themselves did not enter the headquarters in order to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out and asked them, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They replied, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate replied, "Then take him yourself and judge him according to your own law." But the Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated what kind of death he was to die. So Pilate went into his headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate said, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and your chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my disciples would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." "So you are a king," said Pilate. "You say that I am a king," answered Jesus. "For this I was born, and for this I came to the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked, "What is truth?" Then Pilate went out again and said to them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Would you like for me to release for you the king of the Jews?" And they shouted in response, "No, not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a bandit. So they took Jesus. Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head and clothed him in a purple robe. And the soldiers kept coming up to him saying, "Hail, king of the Jews," and striking him on the face. And Pilate came out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing this man out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So they brought Jesus out wearing a crown of thorns and clothed in a purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." But when the chief priests and police saw them, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said, "Take him yourself and crucify him. I find no case against him." But the Jews replied, "We have a law, and according to that law, this man ought to die because he claimed to be the Son of God." He claimed to be the Son of God. And when Pilate heard that, he was more afraid than ever. He returned to his headquarters again and went to Jesus and asked him, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no reply. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From that moment on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor, for everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard this, he took Jesus out and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the stone pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation, and it was about noon. And Pilate went out and said to the Jews, "Here is your king." And the Jews cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests of the Jews said, "We have no king but the emperor." So he handed him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and taking the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, or in Hebrew, Golgotha. And there they crucified him. And with him, two others, one on each side of him, with Jesus between them. Pilate had an inscription written and put on the cross, reading, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And many of the Jews read the inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priest said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'This man says I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them among themselves into four parts, one for each of them. And they also took his tunic. Now his tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear, but cast lots to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They will divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they shall cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. And meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus was Jesus' mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour on, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, "In order to fulfill the scriptures, I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was standing there, and they put a sponge filled with the wine and put it on a branch of hyssop and raised it to his mouth. And when he had received this wine, Jesus said, "It is finished." It is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the body of the criminals hanging on the cross during the Sabbath, especially since the Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first criminal and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he is already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers came and pierced his side with a spear, and at once water and blood came rushing out. Now he who saw this has testified so that you also might believe. And his testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. All of this happened so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. None of his bones shall be broken. And again of another scripture, "You shall look upon one whom they have pierced." And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though in secret because of his fear of the Jews, came to Pilate and asked if he could take the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, and so he came and he took the body. Now Nicodemus, who had first come to Jesus by night, also came, bearing with him a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. And they took the body and they wrapped it in spices of linen cloth, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now, in the garden where Jesus was crucified, there was a new tomb, a tomb in which no one had been laid. And since it was the day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Friends, this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, O Christ. It's Holy Week. It's the week where we remember that God has reconciled everything through the blood of his cross. And the question hanging over us this week is, where do you stand in relationship to Jesus? Do you stand with Judas and the accusers and the police that bound him and take him away? Do you stand with Pilate, who's a skeptic and mystified and full of wonder at these sayings? Do you stand with Mary Magdalene and with the beloved disciple and with Jesus' mother at the foot of the cross? Do you stand mourning the body with Nicodemus? The question for us this week, indeed, the question for us for our life, is where do we stand in relationship to Jesus? Where do we stand in relationship to the cross? Pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for your passion that marks our passions. Thank you for your acts that defines our acts, for your life that defines our life. As we marvel this week at the tragic love, the grievous grace, the severe salvation, the finished work of your cross, may we be filled with wonder, and may we relocate ourselves in relationship to you and your cross in such a way that your cross's circumference pulls us into its gravity of grace. May it be so in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Blessings, your holy week, friends.